Welcome to Around Our Schools, an interview program sharing educational and career opportunities in our area. I am Sarah Meyer, your host. Margaret Firmuth makes it happen, and as this is KMUN Pledge Drive Week, we ask for your donations to help keep a very special community radio on the air. 503-325-0010 is the number. Today, as we wrap up this interview series, we are hearing how Tongue Point Job Corps offers career training for youth 16 to 24 with an interview with two work-based learning specialists, Melissa Padgett and Carla Pitts. Welcome, Melissa Padgett. Will you tell us about yourself and how you came to work at Job Corps?
Good morning. I have been married for 43 years. I've got four grown children, seven grandchildren, and another due in early November, another boy. So I'm excited about that. I worked in law offices for 25 years with local attorney Hal Snow. And when he passed away and we closed the offices there, I decided I wanted to do something just a bit different and got interested in Job Corps and helping young people. So I've been here now for 6 years. I've worked in four different positions here. I started as the secretary admin assistant in the career technical training department, and then I went to office administration instructor, and now I'm half-time business community liaison and half-time work-based learning specialist.
Okay, thank you very much. So you've lived in Astoria most of your life?
Oh, most of my adult life, yes. Yeah, raised my kids here.
Very good. Welcome, Carla Pitts. Tell us about yourself and your work at Job Corps.
Hi. I've lived here for 32 years. I'm a transplant from California. I've always worked in schools. I worked for Classic 9, Napa, and then I came to Job Corps. I like working with students. It just gives me a good feeling, you know, to be helping them out. So just celebrated my 21st anniversary at Job Corps in June. And I'm married and I have three children and two grandchildren. Such a great community here at Job Corps. They take care of you. I lost a child and they all rallied around me. They all helped with the service. Even the students, you know, even a year afterwards, the students would come back and do things for me just to help me, to make me feel better. So this is like another home here. I started out as a career transition specialist here, which was, I helped the students at the end of their time here with resumes and helping them find jobs, that kind of thing. And then about almost 8 years ago, I became the work-based learning specialist. I did all the trades at that time, and I'm really thankful to have Melissa here because it really helps me out. She has all the hard trades, and I have medical assisting, dental assisting, computer service, tech, and all the seamanship program. And the seamanship program is a big program, so.
Great. Melissa, can you give, what's the role of the work-based specialists on center, and what do you do?
As work-based learning specialists, we coordinate the work-based learning between the students, the employer work-based learning sites. We also try to identify new sites, go out and act as the liaison between the employers, the students, and then their trade instructors. So, and then we get all the paperwork side of things too. So we take care of all of that part of it.
So how do you find a work-based place?
A lot of it is word of mouth. Sometimes employers call us looking, say, hey, do you have some students that might be able to help us out here? And we set them up as a work-based site. Sometimes we get one site saying, hey, I talked to this person about what your students do and being able to come out. They're interested. Here's their contact information. Contact them. We get a lot of student or a lot of work-based learning sites from what we call our Center Workforce Council, which we do twice a year, early in like March and in about November sometime we do it. And we invite local employers, all our work-based learning sites, whether they're here or other states, we invite them all to attend, whether virtually or in person. And we get a lot of a new work-based learning sites for inviting employers to that. So they get to come and see what we do. They do a tour of the trades they're interested in so they can see what the students are learning in trade, what certifications they learn, those kinds of things. So that's kind of the bulk of where we get
from. So you have work-based training sites for all 13
Careers?
We have 12 trades, and yes, we have trades for all of
them. So that's a requirement that students all have some base experience?
It's not required, but we try to get all of the students to do work-based, and they get about 300. We try to get them 360 hours. Some of the trades get, and some of the hours they get in those are working projects here on center. There are construction trade supervisor we have here, and he goes out, like, whether glazing replaces windows, old windows, or the painting, a building needs to be painted. So they get some of their work-based hours doing things on trade.
And that gets them credit towards that work-based training.
Yes, yes.
That's interesting. So it can be on campus, it can be off campus, it can be in communities, it can be out of state, it can be...
Yeah, we have three types of work-based. We have local, which is just what it sounds like, local to our center here. Then we have home work-based, which is at the student's home where they come from, the area they're from. And then we have the destination work-based, which is mainly for our seamanship students, where they get on ships and go different places on the ships.
Complicated. A lot of work, and it's all paperwork in a sense, but it's also interacting with students, making sure that they're doing their job and getting knowledge from doing that. All right, well, Carla, the website for Tongue Point is really impressive, and I learned about the 10 career success standards. A graduate that is aware of these plus a career would sure be a super employee. Would you explain how these standards are used in instruction and training on center?
Yes, these career success standards are like soft skills for a job. You know, soft skills are just as important as the hard skills that they have. And some of the career success standards are workplace relationships and ethics, communications, personal growth and development, interpersonal skills, information management, multicultural awareness, career and personal planning, independent living, continuous learning, and problem solving and critical thinking. And some of these students come to us not knowing about these soft skills and how important they are to a job and how you really let your employer and the people that work with you down when they don't do the things they're supposed to do. A good example is someone not knowing to call in sick. You know, I try to explain to them that this is really important because you put everybody off. If they don't know if you're coming, they don't know whether to call someone in. So just those soft skills, they're so important. And our career success standards start in career prep and then go on through their career.
So career prep is two words. What does it mean?
It's their career prep.
First 60 days they're here.
They're getting ready.
They're going to train.
Okay, so they're getting classes on how to be an employee in that first 60 days.
Yes, and then they have a chance to do some jobs. They go into jobs and do a little job shadowing to make sure that's the trade that they want.
And that's all in that first month, two months.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're doing those soft skills, and are there other classes besides that first 60 days that will include those skills that they
work those all the way through every part of their time here at Job Corps, through career prep, through their learning phase, and also through career transition.
A couple of months back, a student said that they got up early, they had a time to rise, a time to make their beds ship-shaped and get off to work, and it was fairly like a work day all day long. And he said that has helped him to be prepared for the regular work world. And is that, everybody gets up at a certain time? Is that a...
Yes.
Standard?
They all have to get up and they have to get their room cleaned, and then they have to, some have jobs that they do in their dorms and they have to get those done, and then they go have breakfast and then they start class.
A work day.
It's a full day.
Okay, well, Melissa, how do OJT training sites work? Are they all local employers? We talked about that briefly, but can you name a few and let us know a little bit more about what that is?
One of our really good partners we have right now is JBT Electro out there at the airport. They can take three trades. They can take electrical students, welding students, and painting students out there. And they will take three students at a time. So that part's really nice. We've got Pat George Construction has been another one. He takes a lot of carpentry students. I'm trying to think what else. We've got Precision Paint, Coast Painting, which is right across the river that takes, they'll take up to 5 students, painting students over there.
Do you do any of the river pilots or anything that's on board out on the river? Do you have?
Yes, we have 2 students out there that they're going tomorrow to help. And we usually have 1 student out there at all times.
On the river pilots or bar pilots or both?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah, with Columbia River, Saddle Mountain Incorporated or Columbia River Bar Pilots.
So do you do any retail OJT sites or anything on that line? Is that?
Not really any longer. We do work with the 2 hospitals in our area for our CMA program and our computer tech program. Both work with the hospitals and different doctor's offices, those kinds of things.
Northwest Urgent Care also, we have
the CMA,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And Aero Dental, they take our dental students and Dr. Klemp and
I'm trying to get a feel for how many students are getting experience but benefiting the communities.
Well, we're just getting back on our feet. We're just getting students back to this point. So when we get things going, and Melissa's done a great job with these construction sites, you know, she's got a lot of stuff going on with them. But our medical assistants and our dental assistants are just getting to the point where they're ready to go out. We just have had a couple go out, so.
So we're back up to, I think it was 180 students come?
I think we're up to about 270 now.
Really growing.
Really close to 270, I believe, yes. And by the end of September, they want us up to about 370 on the number of students. So yeah, so as our student population increases, our work-based learning sites and the students we're getting out to them, that has to increase at the same level, because as we pull new students into the shops, we have to get other students out of the shops doing work-based learning or academics or something, because for safety reasons, you can only have so many students in a shop. So we got to keep that flow going in the shops and stuff in and out. So work-based learning is just going to get more and more important as we go get students.
And with our local sites, they're set up, most of our sites are set up so that when students come back from one, now the student goes to that one. So,
yeah. Okay, let's go to Melissa again. And can you tell me how students are selected to go on an OJT site?
Yes, it starts with the instructor and one of us, the work-based learning specialists, is talking to them and they say, hey, we got this potential site. What do you have for students available? For students to get selected, there's some criteria they have to meet. They have to be 50% complete in their training achievement record, which we call a TAR. They have to be at a privileged level that they earn that is silver or above. They need to be in trade 60 days. They need to have completed the basic safety training class that we have here on the center. And then they have to provide us with a recommendation form where they get their instructor, their counselor, academics department, the student personnel department, and our CTT manager, our career technical training manager, all have to recommend that they can go on a work-based.
So that would be a student that has made contact with all sorts of personnel as well as other students and has a level of competency that they're willing to say this guy, gal, should be out in the world gaining more skills.
Yeah, yes, and that's the point about 50% that we think they're ready to go out and get some hands-on training. Training's all different for all different employers. So they learn to do things one way, say in their shop class, but when they go out to an employer might do things a little different. And so that teaches them, because this is a hard lesson for some of them, that Job Corps, yes, does it one way, but when you go out into the real world, your employer might want it another way. It doesn't mean it's wrong, it just means it's different and you need to learn how the employer wants it. So, that's kind of the basics of how they're selected.
Do you know if you ever have students that have gone to an OJT site and are then offered work at that site when they complete?
Yes. They'll get quite a few that do that. We even have local employers that do that. the problem with a lot of local employers is our students aren't local. So if they want to stay and work for an employer, then they got to worry about, do they have transportation? Do they have somewhere to live? Those kinds of things. And that's sometimes difficult for them leaving here to have the funds to say, get an apartment, buy a car, those kinds of things. But we do have Electros offered to a couple of our students, you know, hey, you want to come to work for us? You know, we'd hire you. So, and I know there's others, hospitals and some of the medical offices and dental offices have done the same.
So while a student is here, they have a housing allotment and they are room and boarded and they have a little bit of a spending money. But once they're out and they've completed, are they done with the Job Corps support?
There's after support through our career transitions piece. They follow up with them for a year after that. They leave with mostly $1,500 or less when they leave. That's just not enough to get it. We do both paid and unpaid work-based learning sites here, and we leave that piece up to the employer. If they want to pay them, if they don't want to pay them, we leave it up to them how they want to pay them. We have everything from them paying them hourly wage to paying them some type of stipend. Some will pay them, like say $50 cash money a week just for spending money. And then when they complete, they write them a check for all the hours they worked so that they are keeping that money when they get done and not spending it on little things while they're doing work base. So it's, we leave that piece up to them.
So that it's not a freebie to the OJT sites. They are responsible for some wages to those trainees. I didn't know that.
Well, they choose whether they wish to pay. They don't have, we don't require it to be paid. And I would say half or more are not paid. Okay. And the other half are paid. So we leave that totally up to what they want to do.
That's interesting. Okay, forward, here we go. Carla, we know of past good community service projects students and staff have provided. Can you tell us about some of them and how those projects happened?
Yeah, we really do a lot with Clatsop Fairgrounds. They go out and set up for things, events, and then they take down events, that kind of thing. So that's a pretty standard thing for us. We've worked in the past with, in 2015, we did the Goonies reunion, the 30th reunion, and the students everyone had a good time at that, the students included. But my favorite, I think, is the project they did when they restored the column the last time. Our plastering students were involved in that heavily, and we had some very good artists in that group, and they were actually involved in the painting, and they made the scaffolding on the outside of the column. And the students would go up on that scaffolding and they would paint the column. They repaint all those things that are up there. They did a great job. And I had the opportunity to go up on that scaffolding to the very top of the column on the outside of it. And as I stood there looking out, I thought to myself, this probably is a chance I will never have again to do. You know, it was just amazing. It was an amazing time for all the students and they all had a good time. And they got paid a stipend on that too. But that's probably my favorite of all of them.
So as you get back to numbers on center, are you looking at any future community service projects? Are any in the works?
We don't have any set up at this time. Melissa has one, I think, don't you?
Yeah, we're talking with City of Astoria. They are wanting our cement students and the cement instructor to come work on the historical stairs off of Lincoln. And stuff. They put up some kind of light fixtures or something, and so they need to fix some of the steps. And so they're looking at having our cement trade students and instructor come help do that.
So, do you know the numbers that are in the cement trades now? They can take 20 or?
I believe he can have his top number is 15, and I think there's 6 or 8 currently in that trade.
So that's. They're not really super large except in the maritime services, correct? Most of them are...
And most of especially our hard trades, are 15, I think they can have in each of the trades. Our carpentry can have more. I think they can have 25 or 30, but that's because we have 2 instructors in that trade. So we can have more in there. I am not sure what the dental and the CMA trades are, but most of the hard trades are the 15.
and they dropped the chef program that they had, do you know?
Yeah, last October we lost three trades. We lost our medical administration trade, our office administration, and our culinary programs, and then they cut our CMA trade and our computer service tech trade in half.
Whoa.
We used to have two instructors for each of those two trades, and we lost one instructor for each of those. But our numbers that we have to have by our contract did not go down. So that's why the work-based learning program is getting so much more important for us, because we still are contracted for the 473 students, but we have less trades that we have to put them in. So that means we have to pull more students out of those trades and get more students into the work-based learning site.
Wow.
And that was a big part of getting another work-based learning specialist. So yeah. It just made me really happy.
Dealing all with all the students as one person trying OJT.
Yes.
And
yes. Yeah.
Okay, that's letting me know a lot of information. Well, Melissa, if anyone wants to know more information, what should they do?
They can go to Job Corps sites that we have. There's national sites for that, and they can get directed here, or they can just call Carla or I, or email us. Carla's email is pitts.carla@jobcorps.org. Mine is pageant.melissa@jobcorps.org. And phone numbers are 338-4989 or 338-4985.
All right. Is there anything else you'd like our listeners to know about Job Corps?
Well, we're always looking for new employers for our work-based learning program. We've got the 12 trades, and like I stated here just a bit ago, we are having to increase the number of work-based learning sites that we have. On the most part, we provide the students, when they go to work-based, they get breakfast and lunch here before they leave here. Most of the time, we are providing transportation to the job sites, so the employers don't usually have to worry about that. Some of the construction guys do want to pick the students up at the gate, and that's fine, so employers don't have to worry about that. We try to cover those types of things. The students can bring their tools and their PPE equipment and stuff like that. So that's not necessarily something that employers have to do. We try to cover all of that for the students as well as their trade clothes and boots and whatnot. But as far as Job Corps is a great opportunity for our local youth, and it's completely free to them. They can live on center. We were recently granted the privilege of also having local students that could live at home. So this is a change that just came down. They just have to have stable housing and transportation to get back and forth each day here to their trades. So that opens hopefully a lot up for our local students to come to Job Corps, and they can leave here with a career and a great start onto life. Debt free.
And we have done this in the past too. We just didn't do it during COVID.
Right.
And so we've had a lot of students that have been very successful in our areas. Medical assistants that are still working at CMH or at urgent cares, dental assistants, seamanship. All, you know, it's just a great place for local students to come.
Well, the other thought I had was many of our students who are, especially the union taught trades, they get direct entry into their apprenticeship programs. So a lot of times you go sign up and you got to wait in line for your turn to come up to get into an apprenticeship program. For students who complete here our pre-apprentice programs, they get direct entry and go right into their apprenticeships.
And those pre-apprenticeship programs would be?
Carpentry, glazing, painting, cement, plastering, electrical, and then building construction trades all are. There are some of the unions will match what the students earn on work-based or what they save while they're here up to a certain amount. Like I know our cement and plastering trades, their union, if the student saves up to $1,500, they will match the students, so the students can leave here with $3,000. So that's a little bit more help to get the car, the apartment, or whatever they need.
And the job they want. With the vehicle, yes. They can go to the job they want.
So. Yeah.
That's incredible. Thank you. Well, thank you, Carla Pitts and Melissa Pageant, for sharing your work at Tongue Point Job Corps Center. Our interviews around Tongue Point Job Corps have shared a successful federal program for youth 16 to 24. This center has been in Astoria since 1964-65. MTC manages the center with a five-year, $74 million budget. That investment returns at least double the work value and enhanced quality of life for enrollees. Students live and learn on campus for 2 years, gaining certificates in their choice of 13 skilled careers. Safe codes of conduct support a healthy environment, and students are assisted throughout their training and successful job placement. Student max capacity now is 473 and 194 staff the full-time campus. Two fairly new emphases are reaching out to youth in our local counties for enrollment and the doubling of the Maritime numbers to 180 enrollees. If you are that lucky young person or know of one, this career training program should be at the top for consideration. Thank you, Melissa Paget and Carla Pitts, for working with our youth and loving it. Thanks to Margaret for all the technical knowledge and needed to produce this interview. And thanks to KMUN and listeners for allowing me to share the good parts of educational opportunities in our communities. And this week is the week that KMUN seeks your donations to help run the radio. Call 503-325-0010 and give what you can. KMUN is unique in program offerings and local support. Your donations help keep it on the air. Thank you.